I'm just going to, for best pr-, I'm just starting recording. This is the beginning of it. There's Greg. There's Chris. Dave C is somewhere. Can't see him. Title is Hyundai P Pizza Party. Hyundai P Patreon. Sorry. Patreon Pizza Party. Doing it now. Doing it. Doing it. Why can't I spell? Okay. Well, let's when it says setting up your meeting, meeting is now streaming. And everybody, it's time for the fizz. Bring in the fizz. There we go.
The following episode of Humble and Fred is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Gig Sky, the Chambers Plan, Clear Air Solutions, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, Safe Tech Security, NextHome.ca, DraftKings, Red Light Holland, City Parent, and our newest sponsor, HealthGage, providing digital solutions to improve health outcomes. If you'd like to talk to Humble and Fred, subscribe to our Patreon. And now from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show, here are Humble and Fred.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Hyundai peas. Hello, people. Hello, Patreon nerds. Hello, everybody. James, Chris, Gregory, Dave, Quebec Irish boy, Gwen, you lovely human. Well, here we are once again.
What is this Quebec Irish boy?
I don't know.
Darren Shanahan.
There's Darren. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us. There's Darren. Okay. All right, Phil, why don't you start us off with a one of your things that you do. Just do something. You know, one of your songs, one of your stories.
You've stumped him.
No, I know.
I froze a little there.
That's okay.
Pee in my poop hole.
Yeah, why don't you do that, Phil? Why don't you do one of your pee-pee poop hole songs?
Pee in my poop hole. Poo in my peep hole. That is unusual.
Yes, it is.
Enjoy your dinner.
Hi, everybody.
How mature. I have my eye on James Needham, because there's a couple of questions I definitely want to ask him before this evening's over.
Hey, James, how are things?
Not too bad, Howard, Fred, Phil. How are you guys?
Goddamn, man. Look at you. You're in the Bahamas or Barbados?
Bermuda. Bahamas.
Bermuda, Bahamas. Right.
Bahamas. That's the view behind me.
Wow.
Like, I mean, what a story that is. You work at a meat store in Toronto, end up getting a job in the Bahamas at a similar store. And, like, where are you living? Like, renting an apartment or something? That looks like a beautiful place.
Yeah, I've got a condo that's right on one of the canals just outside of Freeport. And it's a whole 10-minute drive to work every day now.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's very nice.
Anywhere on the island is no more than 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm.
I just want everyone to know that James is not officially a... he is a Hyundai P, but he's not an... And by the way, whoever's got their... If somebody could just mute your mic, because we're sort of hearing ourselves a little bit, if you wouldn't mind. James, Fred and I invited James because he gave us a bunch of meat.
In fact, I had some of the boneless chicken breasts tonight, as a matter of fact. They were they were gigantic, James.
It's ridiculous how big the breasts were that I used to be able to get.
Yeah, huge breasts. Yeah, very nice. Everyone, it's great to have you here. James is going to hang in. So, James, just mute. So what we'll do is I can't remember how we did this last time, but I am definitely getting some reoccurring noise. Maybe that was James. We hope everyone's all right. Does everyone have a drink? Look at the little Howman's having himself a pretend beer. There you go.
I just heard one crack. Very good.
Cheers, everybody.
See, I had a beer in the last edition, but I don't have one tonight.
Well, go get a beer.
Well, I might.
You've got time.
I just ate. No, I just ate.
You had your dinner already? I got my popcorn, just having some popping corn. Mm-hmm. Later, I might have a little pizza. What are you eating, Phil?
Poop.
You're eating poop?
I'm eating soup.
Oh. I don't think you should do that. Don Patterson!
Soon, eh, Phil, it'll be Pearl.
Now, A's now. Come on. Come on now.
Different kind of soup.
Chairman Mao.
Chairman Wonton. Hey, Don Patterson, how are you, sir?
Donnie?
I just had to unmute myself.
I appreciate that.
How are you guys doing?
Oh, we're
good.
Great.
You're looking good, Donnie. The baseball cap and everything?
I don't think I've seen Don Patterson in person for some time, but I have such great memories of the odd time I would go to the trailer, and you treated me like a regular person and not an outcast.
And you know what? I haven't had a trailer there for 25 years.
Come on.
Can you imagine that?
I know. That is crazy.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah. You left, what, in 97?
Amazing.
97, yeah. So almost 25 years.
Yeah, I know. The time goes by so quickly. And although Donnie, for several years, every May, Donnie would come up and stay with me and help me open my trailer and do stuff. And we sort of got away from that the last few years. But
we did that.
Yeah, you were still, from time to time, you still pop by, which is good. And we meet for golf at Six Foot Bay and in Buckhorn and that type of thing. But
and now I live up here, so it's great.
Yeah, you live in Peterborough, or you live at the trailer?
Fenland Falls.
Nice.
He doesn't live at the trailer.
I don't know how it works. I don't know what goes on with you people up there.
Yeah. Donnie lives there now, and he always wanted to live there, up in that area, and now he does. See? Some people reach their goals. Okay?
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you. Who's 14169? It's like now we're in Les Mis. Hey, Phil?
Oh, I dreamed a dream.
Phil got that reference. We really have no format. Last time we enjoyed talking to you guys so much, and it was so nice seeing you in person.
I think maybe what we should do, if you were part of the show last time or you weren't part of the show last time and you didn't speak, maybe raise your hand and you can say a few words.
Mm-hmm. Or ask a question. Yes. Dan Duran will be joining us at the top of the hour. Dan Duran. There's 14169. Who's that? Is that one of the... Hi. You don't have a name on there. Oh, there's the sisters.
The sisters.
The sweet sisters. Nice.
Wait. Where are you?
Hi.
Okay, now we can mute.
Just introduce yourself. No, introduce yourselves again.
Darlene.
Darlene Julia. And?
Julia. Darlene, I'm Darlene.
Darlene and Julia Fred are the nanny sisters?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And where do you guys live?
Oakville.
Oakville, okay.
Look at that Hummel and Fred sign in the background. That's fantastic. See, Howard, do you see? Oh, okay. Now I see names on all the panels. Gord G, what are you eating? Pizza?
Sorry, yes, I am. Just coincidentally, not because of the party, but.
No, you look like you're enjoying it, man.
Where's that? Who's having the? I'm sorry, who's having the pizza? I can't see.
Gordy G, third row down.
Hey, Gordy G. Hi, Gord.
You did.
You got a little beer there and everything. And Gord's got some kind of weird thing going on with his Zoom. It's got like the phased effect or something.
Blur your background so you can't see my messy kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Freddie, whenever Darlene and Julia... Whenever they
14169?
Yeah, 14169. Whenever they identify themselves as sisters, I always think of that song, and you would remember it from that holiday movie, with Bing Crosby and Sisters. You know that song?
White Christmas.
I'm trying to think who. Oh, well, here it is. Okay, hang on a second. Here we go.
Favorite movie.
Here we go, ladies.
Sisters,
we need sisters. A fan.
There were never such devoted sisters. Never had to have a chaperone.
I'll bet you two did, though. You probably played around in your day out there in Oakville.
You know, this morning on the show, I referenced the sisters on. It was on the Waltons, and I know I'm dating myself. I used to watch the Waltons with my mom, and we loved it. And then I got an email from Jillian, saying, "Hi, Fred. The sisters were on the Waltons. They made illegal alcohol, which they called the Recipe. I remember that now. And they were really never given names on the show other than referred to as the sisters. And when we first met you guys, I thought of those sisters. I hope you're not offended."
Well, I think they are. I think they're terribly offended.
No, not at all.
Do you guys live on the, are you guys, let me get a sense of you two since we're talking to you. Are you on the south of the QEW or north of the QEW?
North.
You're north of the QEW.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all like the normal people in Oakville live.
Of course.
Yeah, because if you live south of the QEW, we'd be asking you for way more money for our Patreon support.
That's right.
Yes. You know what I mean? Because people who live south of the QEW, that's where all the rich Oakville people are.
Yeah.
So, just looking around here, Dr. Network, who is that? Check in, say hello, explain yourself, Dr. Network.
Hey, Dr. Network, there you are. I couldn't find you for a second. Yeah, unmute your mic and let... Oh, here's 1 second. His audio is connecting.
Okay. And then there's Susan's iPhone.
Here we go.
Oh, there we go. Dr. Network.
Hey, guys. Dr. Network.
Checking in from Coquitlam, BC.
Oh, amazing.
Humble, you'll know where that is.
Absolutely. The interior. Been there many times.
Crazy at Susan's house.
No, it's on the island, right?
No, just a suburb of Vancouver.
Oh, right. Shit, yeah.
Yeah.
Coquitlam.
So, no, I'm skipping work. This is another Zoom meeting in my calendar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I call myself Dr. Network because I'm the IT guy at work, so.
And what is the work that you do, sir?
So I work for a company called Earth's Own. We make, like, soy milk and oat milk and all that sort of stuff, and... Like I say, I work in the IT department there and just kind of thought, yeah, why not trigger another Zoom meeting and get away from the spreadsheets and the servers and all that sort of stuff.
Well, tell us, Doctor, what is your history with the Humble and Fred Show? Are you from Toronto and you knew of us there, or have you discovered the podcast whilst in British Columbia?
Yeah.
What's your roots?
So Humble, I'm from Regina originally. Oh.
Okay, that I do know where that is, yes.
Yeah, you know where that is. I've lived out here in BC for about 25 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found you guys, funny enough, one night I was on Google, I was searching for Chris Shepherd, because I used to listen to his DJ shows in the 90s, and I kind of wondered, hey, whatever happened to this guy? Mm-hmm. And I stumbled across the episode where you guys interviewed him. And I listened to the podcast, and then I just became a fan, and I just fell in love with listening to you guys. Every morning, you guys are an automatic download on my phone, and just absolutely love it.
Well,
fantastic.
I think that's really, really sweet, Dr. Network, especially since we grew up as such rivals, you know, the Regina Pats, the Moose Jaw Warriors. You're too young to have ever gone to a game at the old Regina exhibition. I can't remember the name of that stadium, but they had all the, your dad would know this, but it was a horrible place to watch hockey.
Yeah, I remember when it was Taylor Field. Regina in the 80s.
So. Sure. Yeah. When we went back to Saskatchewan, I took Fred for a tour of the province. We were in Saskatoon, Moose Jaw, Regina, and we were talking about that with Rod Black, how Freddie being a CFL fan, going on the field at Taylor Field was a big deal.
Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
It really was. Mm-hmm. Big part of my childhood or my early teen years. Big fan of the CFL. Always seeing the games televised out of that park. And then you get there and you see how sort of raw and basic and almost bush league it was. But
oh, yeah.
It was still a thrill.
Especially when you're in Regina. It's one of the biggest structures for miles around.
You know, that's what got me about that stadium is down one side of the stadium, right across the street, were a bunch of row houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, that's an odd thing to look out at every day, the side of a stadium, especially on game day.
know? Well, the scary part is if you ever looked on the MLS at some of those places, I remember.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I remember as a teenager, I once looked up on, like, just to see, like, what do those places sell for? And those are, like, $10,000 houses, or at the time they were. So you can imagine how bad it is.
Phil, that sounds like a good start for you and Pearl.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, listen, I'm not surprised that you grew up in Regina and moved away to wonderful the Lower Mainland. Good to see you, sir. Scotty Acton, you just signed on. How are you today? Scott, were you with us? And I didn't get that. By the way, raise your hands if you were with us for our first Zoom party. Okay, so some new people. Chris, of course, he's there everywhere. Scott, how are you? And maybe you can tell us the same. What's your history with this nonsense outfit?
I guess probably for me, I'm in Huntsville, Ontario, and grew up actually in the Port Elgin area, Lake Huron shoreline. So I didn't get you guys on the edge. I didn't get you guys until I guess you went over to Mojo when I could pick up the AM signal. So I got to know you a little bit then, and really with the podcast since the beginning. So I've been on with you guys a couple of times, won some contests, things like that.
Nice. You know,
the great little show you have.
Well, yeah, thank you very interesting. Much.
When we were on Mojo, I mean, back in the early 2000s, it was an AM signal, and ironically, you couldn't get it in Toronto, especially downtown with all the overhead streetcar wires and stuff. It was impossible. And of course, there was no streaming back then.
Mm-hmm.
And it was weird for us because almost immediately our audience shifted from like downtown Toronto, like on the edge, to all the sort of rural areas. Remember, Howard, we'd get calls from Peterborough and Owen Sound because that was a strong signal. And then all of a sudden, we sort of attracted this new audience, which obviously you were part of that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was weird for us because we had gone from such a sort of downtown centric, you know, demographic and maybe psychographic. And all of a sudden it was weird for me, too, because I'd been living in the suburbs. So had you. And all of a sudden, some of the people that I golfed with and those kind of people actually discovered us because they hadn't heard us much before. Here's somebody I want everyone to know. There's Marilyn Benninger and her husband, Chef Mike. Is he there? Because I have to. He sent me a note today about he heard we were low on the Chef Mike spice.
Mm hmm.
That is true, and that's why I'm here, to convey that whatever amount of rub you need, we're good.
Where is the chef?
He's just downstairs. Shall I go drag him off the stove?
Well, whenever he has a chance. And also, can you just turn your mic up a little bit, Mayor?
Sure, no worries.
You know what, Fred, you know what Marilyn helped us organize?
Yes.
Was it
the
our
thing at the horseshoe?
No, she helped us organize the show at the old studio.
Oh, okay, that one, right?
When we did that, was it our first anniversary, Marilyn?
Yeah. We had the shirts, we had the swag.
Yeah, we had the little reception area in the other office, and we had our little performance area there. Spencer sang. I think we had like 30 or 40 people, Marilyn. Maybe I can't remember how many.
Mm-hmm.
Six trays of peas.
I'm sorry, Phil, what?
Six trays of peas, if you remember the catering.
Six trays.
I don't. Have to bring it home.
Six trays of... Chris is saying yes. We had too many peas, Chris?
It was awesome.
All right. Yeah. I don't remember any of that.
A lot of people jammed in a very small room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Marilyn...
Well, thanks for dropping by, Marilyn. And that's nice to know we're going to get more rib. Or rub, because
ribs and rubs.
Again, I recently ran out of it.
Yes.
Like because you had given us quite a bit. The Moroccan rub was quite nice.
Yeah, I love the Moroccan rub.
Mm-hmm. The thing will be done.
Rocking the Moroccan.
Hey. What was that?
Rocking the Moroccan.
Is that Susan? That.
Susan.
Yeah. Turn on your camera, Susan. We can't see you. I think Mike Schuster's there.
You know what? I don't have enough.
That's okay.
Age to get to that point, but you know.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're
just I've been listening to you guys long before you even were on, I guess, the edge. Or Eddie Valiquette in the Grooves. Do you remember that on a Sunday afternoon?
Oh, I do. Yes.
That's before my time, Susan.
That goes back into my CFNY heritage. Yes, Eddie Valiquette.
Wow.
So what year was that?
Well, that would have been in the 80s, early 80s.
84?
Yes, because...
Yeah?
Yeah, he was involved. Well, he was a good friend, whatever. I don't even know how to say this. Eddie Valiquette.
That was me cracking the beer, just saying.
Yeah. No, Eddie Valiquette was involved with David Marsden, and Marsden left in 87, and I believe Eddie left at that time, too, so... it was prior to 1987.
I'm laughing there.
I can't see them.
All right.
Where are they?
All right.
I don't see them in there.
Settle down there, mister.
I don't see them.
Everyone, that's our buddy Chef Mike. He's got the rub. He's got the spice. He's got punching way above his weight for wives.
So, Humbo, did you get my note earlier today?
Yeah, we've already addressed that.
So, the thing?
The thing will be done.
Yes. Yes, we're excited.
All right. Good stuff.
All right.
You're looking good there, Chef.
Spend time in the gym, brother. Time in the gym.
I can see that.
Wow. Good for you.
Yeah, you look at them. It's looked like you lost a few pork ribs or whatever. Pork loins.
I lost a little bit of brisket.
Look at him.
All right, guys. Peace, guys. See you again soon.
Okay, guy. Go ahead, Freddie.
What about Dave C? Dave, did you raise your hand when we asked if you had been here before? I don't think you did.
Yeah, no. Hey, guys.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, I wasn't able to make it to the last one, but yeah, this is fantastic. So hopefully you can hear me okay. I had to turn on my phone because my laptop cocked out on me just before this started. But
What, Dave? It did who?
Oh, sorry. It cocked out. Is that
no, bad? I love that. I've never heard that before. It cocked out.
Conked out.
Okay.
Yes.
Jesus. You're embarrassing the sisters. Okay, but they're out there in Oakville.
Sorry, it went on the fritz, if you will.
Okay.
Anyway, no, I've been listening to since the 90s. You guys were my commute to work on my first ever job, and then I was there with the Mojo days, and then kind of lost touch with you guys until you reappeared on satellite radio, and then once that happened, you know, 8 or 9 years ago or whatever that was, I don't think I've missed one episode since. So you guys have been a big part of my life, and I listen to you guys every single day. Mm-hmm. And I laughed my ass off. So,
well, thank you very much.
Love the format, and thank you so much for what you guys do. I think it's awesome.
Well, that's very nice. Thank you, Dave, and we appreciate your support more than we're emotionally able to equip to express. But trust us that we do.
Where are you, Dave?
I'm in Brantford.
Okay.
Yeah, so home of Wayne Gretzky. I don't know him, but I know of him.
You know, Dave.
Did you
go ahead
when Walter died? Did you take to the streets and tap a hockey stick on the street like a lot of people did?
Well, I actually did not, but I observed a lot of that. It was actually pretty powerful.
I bet it was.
It was it was something else. That was quite an impact on our community. So it was. Yeah,
Dave, I was there. It's not only is it home of Walter and the Gretzky family and the legacy, but I was there late last summer for a golf tournament, and I'd forgotten that who's the now I've forgotten his name. He's a player
David
on the
Hearn?
David Hearn, PGA Tour player from Brantford, and that golf course you guys have there is a very famous and. You know, very, very lovely place to play, and you're very lucky.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest ones in North America.
Exactly. It's like it was built in the late 1800s.
Yeah. Sorry, Freddie, you were going to say?
Well, attached to the Gretzky story was just months previous that Ken Hestall or whatever his name was.
Yeah.
Who was, charged with stealing from...
Yeah.
Stealing from the Gretzkys, actually going in the house and taking memorabilia. I imagine that didn't play well in Brantford. I don't think he'd want to show his face in that community, would he?
No, absolutely not. So, yeah, no, that was disgusting. So, it's a pretty cool house to drive by, just with the history there, and you know what, like, you know, living in the community, you'd see Walter around you know, at the grocery store, wherever. And he was a big part of the community, and the amount of stuff he did for charity was incredible.
Well, see, here's the problem. Here's what a terrible person I am, because while Fred was asking you about, you know, did you tap your hockey stick at the funeral, my thought was, while the funeral was going on, I thought you were going to ask Dave, did you go to the Gretzky house and steal some of his shit? But can't do that. Thank you, Dave. Okay, so we got some new people. Just say hi before we and I know some of the people weren't here last time. Mike Schuster is our aviation expert. And Mike and I, we flew in a simulator together a year ago. Mike, how are you doing, sir?
Good, good. Thanks for having us all tonight. It's nice to check in with everybody.
How's
I couldn't believe that it was over a year ago that we did that, though, Howard.
How's aviation?
A week before you went down south.
That's right. How has aviation been for you? Because you fly out of Kitchener, you train pilots. What has that world been like for you?
It's a little hit or miss for everybody, just depending on what parts they're in. So the folks that are doing the training for the new pilots, they're doing pretty well. Our company is doing well because no one can go flying for the most part, so they all need to come and qualify with us. But the airline side is getting hit pretty hard, obviously. So that,
yeah, I bet.
That's unfortunate, but we want to see all our friends get back in the plane soon.
Well, I don't know. If you watch the news tonight, I'm afraid to watch the news anymore. Now, they're saying by the end of May, maybe 15, 16,000 cases a day in Ontario. And it was big news today because it was 4,000. So I just can't imagine if we get to those numbers. And by the way, Howard, they were talking tonight. They think maybe by Monday or Tuesdays, golf courses will be shut down.
Really? Yeah, I heard some... I heard, I was going to save this, but I heard a story today. I have a friend that teaches golf, and one of the guys that he works with teaches somebody fairly high up at one of the big, like, I can't remember if it was FedEx or UPS, but like the guy is, you know, fairly high up in that organization, and he said he's heard that in the next 10 to 12 days, they may invoke a lockdown much more strict than the one we're in now. Like people not being able to move about freely, basically having us curfew. All, yeah, a curfew and having us all. Because as I said to the other day on the show, I was at Charlie's house, and it's right across from Trinity Bellwoods, and it looked like just a regular day and a summer's day in Ontario, you know.
Yeah, again, those kids think they're invincible. I got a email from the trailer park today saying nobody come near there even for a day visit or to check out your unit, just stay away. So I doubt that's going to be open at the beginning of May, which is a disappointment for me and my family. But you know, it's right down the list. What about people that have, all these people that have rented these cottages at outrageous prices? Like, you may be told not to go. I mean, ultimately people may go, but it's I don't know.
So where's my question is always when we talk about this, and maybe somebody wants to weigh in, but how are we going to go from 4,000 to 12,000? Is that just the variance? Is it, because isn't there a point where enough people will be vaccinated? Anyone?
I don't know.
Your hand up and then unmute. Go ahead, Dr. Network. What are your thoughts?
I could see it definitely going up big time. BC is not faring a lot better. I don't know what level of news you get out east, what's going on out here. But we were second wave. They were freaking out when we were like 150 cases a day.
Mm-hmm.
We are now at 1,200 new cases a day.
Mm-hmm.
In Vancouver?
Yeah, in the general BC area, like province-wide. And I can tell you our vaccination strategy is way out to lunch. It's we're sort of doing this same sort of thing of these age cohorts, but the registration system keeps changing. So you go one day and then you go the next day to their website and it's like, oh, this website's gone. Now we've got a new website. Go to this other website. And they're very insistent on schools will remain open. They haven't given us a target number, but the general feeling that I would say people have is there's no number that's too high. Schools will remain open period. But at the same time, some of the school districts are so infected and so far down the rabbit hole that they're just closing the schools right down because it's like, well, 95% of our staff are testing positive. We don't have an adult to go to the school to open it. So it's really bad. They've just in the last couple of days announced that they're going to actually start bringing the vaccines targeted to schools, police, firemen, hospitals, and start switching the program from just those over the age of 70 into, hey, we'll actually get to the people on the street. But I think realistically, if they want to make this work, I think federally they need to say, this is the new way. If you have to leave your house and you have to go somewhere, you get a vaccine. Because it doesn't chasing after people who are 75 and sitting around at home just watching TV. This is not helping anything.
They got to target the grocery store. Well, that sounds like a lot like Ontario. They have to target the hot spots. I know.
But it's that's my question to you is how are we going to go from 4,000, three times as many? You're saying it could be 12,000 cases a day here.
You know, one person walks into a room and gives it to two or three people.
My question is, where is that? Where are those groups going to come from? How are we? How do we get to 4,000? And how? And where's the? Is that just a bunch of kids, or they're ignoring all this?
Well, it might be. They're talking tonight. There's problem with bush parties. Kids can't go to bars. So, like up north of here, they're all gathering at bush parties because they can't gather at bars and restaurants.
Well, this is what I'm asking you. That's where it's coming from.
It's getting warmer. I mean, that's a problem too. But anyway, it's also depressing. I just want it over.
Well, how about we change the subject to something that is a celebration, which is, by the way, and we've been begging for 3 weeks now, and finally today, hang on. Today, about, I don't know, a couple hours ago, we reached our 100th Patreon supporter. Yes, yes, people. Yes, yes. We're going to have, when this is all over, we're having a COVID bush party. That's what we're going to do. Jesus. I'll tell you right now, it's all fun and games until they close the golf courses. Then shit's going to get real.
Yeah, wouldn't that be something?
By the way, I want to mention the gentleman. And again, don't think for a second. Whatever level you support us, we are thrilled. Justin Devarenes, D-E-V-A-R-E-N-N-E-S, is our 100th Patreon supporter. And some of you were with us on the very first day we announced it. Of course, all of you Hundy Peas. But what a great thing. Thanks very much, Justin. Okay.
But he's not any more special than any of you.
No.
He just happened to be number 100. Like, what's a number, right?
Exactly. What he's about, just our last.
I'll lose track because I'm getting old. Have we talked to Patrick Adair yet?
I don't think we have. Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
Hello. No, I had a bit of trouble signing on with my iPad, so I went to my computer.
It's all right.
Everything's good.
So why don't you tell us your humble and Fred story? Oh, you don't have to, or just ask a question. Is there something you're wondering? Where are you?
I'm up in Barrie. Listen to you guys every day commuting down to Mississauga to work.
Jesus. To you guys. How long does that take?
During the pandemic, just about an hour.
And if before,
before it was an hour, 20 minutes.
Jesus.
Yeah. Do you go up the 400?
Yeah, straight up the 400.
Yeah. That's a real white knuckler, eh, on a snowy night?
Yeah it can be. Yeah, but
I came home one
time. I drive my truck.
You know, Patrick, I came home from there. I was doing a gig at a place called Barnstormers or Barn. It's a bar?
Yeah, it's around the corner from where I live.
Oh, okay. I left there at 11 o'clock on a kind of a wintry night. And just as you say, Freddie, I was like, and I've driven. And hey, Dr. Network, I've driven in winter. But it was scary. And you were doing that every day?
I've been doing it every day for about 12 years now.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I work in the funeral business. It's not good up in this area.
Fred, cool.
Well, I've been on your show before.
Oh, have you?
About a little over 2 years ago, you two were talking about cremations, and phoned in. Then you guys invited me to come on the show that same day, so I skipped work and whipped over.
Well, I got to tell you, Patrick, I apologize on behalf of both of us, but you could have been on this morning and we might have forgotten.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, do you actually, like, what do you do? Do you cremate? Do you actually run the furnaces and stuff sometimes?
No. Okay. I do all the arranging at the funeral home that I work at, and we make all the arrangements and liaison with the crematoriums and the cemeteries.
Because my mom and dad, and again, you don't want to hear this because you work for a funeral home, but my mom and dad had this thing that they signed up before they died, that they died at the hospital. This company came and picked them up, cremated them, and then delivered them to our front door. And I'm sort of looking for something like that. Do you deal in that, or do you try?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do.
What Fred wants to have you stuff him and have him do you do
mounted up at the Tin Palace?
Yeah, just there, like Weekend at Bernie's, just hanging around.
Okay, we can try and make that happen.
So, wow, that's quite the drive every day. And you know, a lot of people drive an hour, but when it involves the 400, that's an added dimension.
So. Yeah, I'd say
it can be. I've got about 5 years left, and I'm going to retire and do something part time.
Good for you.
Should do a podcast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a few funeral podcasts.
There's a few. I bet there are.
Yeah. Why wouldn't there be? Yeah.
You know, Patrick, I do remember now us having a conversation. Maybe not specifically with you, but I do remember us talking about this because we do. Oh, yeah. But thanks for joining us today.
No problem.
Again, let me just re-ask, because both of us have forgotten. There's so many panels open. Who is here with us that wasn't here last time? So Jeff and Darren and Rob. Okay, let's start with Jeff. Jeff Cole, your story. Who are you? How do you know us?
I moved to the Toronto area back in 97, I think it was. I heard you guys on the Edge working at a really horrible business. And then you guys eventually disappeared. And I saw your billboard one day just outside my house over on Fort York there.
Nice.
Oh, yeah, right.
That's right. The gardener, right.
And I listen to a lot of podcasts during the day at the shop here. I'm a tool maker. I build electronics components, so I get to do whatever I want working by myself. So I listen to, make sure you guys are downloaded, and listen to a whole bunch of other stuff during the day.
Now that's interesting. You know, you often hear us talk about, you know, the radio industry and how it's being affected by so many other options now. You know, you're a great example. You just said you listen to podcasts all day long. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. The radio would have been on all day long, probably in your shop.
Yep. Yeah.
And now it's podcasts. So why do you choose podcasts over listening to the radio?
I like hearing about a little bit about what's going on. I'll listen to you guys and a few comedy, but a lot of science and history podcasts and that sort of thing. And then when I want music, I'll throw in a Spotify playlist and listen to that.
Isn't that interesting that years ago you would have listened to us and waded through, you know, five or six or seven songs an hour? And now I was sort of suggested that. I think it was today. I said, it would be kind of cool if you and I did like an hour of the old Humble and Fred show. Mm-hmm. It would be weird, but it might be neat for people. Maybe people haven't heard us do that, but back in the days when you started, Jeff, that's what we were doing. And during the songs, Fred and I would say all the things that we're saying now when there are no songs. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I remember some of the really difficult contest stuff.
That's right. Humble and Fred's really tough contest.
Somebody on a cross. Mm-hmm. Somebody was typing.
Yeah, we're not sure what you're talking about.
Danger Boy. Hey, that's a great story.
Oh, yeah.
Because for Easter, we put Danger Boy on a cross.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then shit hit the fan, the Catholic League or whatever you call it.
Yeah, the Catholic came after us.
I think my mom belonged to that. Not here, but.
No, but it was, Freddie, it was called something like the Catholic Civil Rights League or the Catholic something.
But anyway, it was one of those it was one of those things where the reaction was so negative to this, like anti-religious, anti-Christian, that there was meetings in the Edge, like in the offices. What are we going to do about this? And then I believe it was Phil Evans, our promotion guy, thought, Alan Cross, wait a minute. We can say that we're going to tie him to Alan Cross.
Yeah.
Because we had talked about doing it before he actually did it, right, Howard?
Oh, no, we talked about it for a while that we were going to do it on Easter. We thought that would be a great bit to crucify our producer.
That's
what
right.
do we know? And so, at the last minute, we got a cardboard cutout of him.
Of Alan Cross holding his arms out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we, well, not nailed, but...
We duct taped him.
Tied Danger Boy too. And that got us out of it. It was very clever. Like, what are the chances? Alan Cross. A Cross. Get it? A Cross. Alan Cross. It was great.
I don't think we get it. I don't think anyone gets it.
Everybody get it?
Everyone, listen. Darren, we're going to say hi to you in a second. And Rob Martin. Jeremy, were you with us last time? Jeremy L., were you with us last time?
No, I wasn't.
Okay,
no,
you stand by. Everyone stand by because now... It's time for, hang on, here we go.
Now, here's to a fella named Dan Duran.
There
he is. A hell of a guy with a hella big wang. The quintessential anchorman.
All together now.
His voice is nice and low.
Ho!
Dan Duran, the anchorman, comes and asks for credentials. He has none. Can't tell a headline from his bum, but his voice is nice and low. Dan Duran, he's prone to falling off his chair. But he's got a big wang, so he don't care. And his voice is nice and low.
My voice is nice. And low.
Ladies and gentlemen, there you go.
Thank you very much. That's quite the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
I should have that everywhere I go.
Is that it?
Okay, thanks, Dan. Very nice. That's Dan Duran, everybody.
I haven't been listening.
Well, Dan is thinking of something to say. Jeremy L., again, where are you? And, thank you for being part of this.
Yeah, I'm just thanks guys for doing this. This is pretty neat. I just live, I guess, so just a bit south of Midland, Ontario.
Mm-hmm.
So I too do that drive down the 400. So that's a bit sketchy.
Yeah.
Working in Concord there, but I've been working mostly from home, obviously, with what's going on. But
mm-hmm.
My typical job is traveling across Canada doing sales, though. So that's where, you know, I listen to you guys most on the podcast. I remember my sister listened to you guys back in the day.
Yes.
And I remember when you guys left the Edge.
Don't remind
and
us.
Then I know. But just going back, like I didn't listen to you for very long on there, but then I, you know, found you guys again through Mojo and then through Sirius actually was flipping through there and then. Caught mm-hmm. up on the podcast and I typically listen on the, you know, for the past, I don't know, however many years it's been over the podcast. So,
well, yeah, as we've been saying, we certainly appreciate it. Daniel, just, or Jeremy, hang on a second. I just want to quickly get, because
sure.
I there's a few others. Daniel LaRock just came, but it was, everything is switched. So Darren Shanahan, why don't you say hello? Then Rob Martin, then to Daniel, and then we'll introduce Dan Duran again, because it's so much fun.
Didn't Darren already say hello?
Darren, did you say hi already?
No, not yet.
I don't think so.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, not right. yet. I'm a little bit nervous here, guys. I don't have a microphone, so I know that's that Howard fine. Doesn't like when people talk into the computer.
I don't mind it. It's my new thing. Go ahead. Talk into anything you want.
I worked on that joke all day, Howard.
That's a good one. No, you do sound great, actually.
I'm just joking around here. Well, look, it's funny because I'm probably one of your newest Hundy Peas. I only discovered you guys during the pandemic. Actually, it was I'm born and raised in Quebec City, so I'm here in Quebec City as we speak.
Wow!
And started listening to your show because I remember Bob McCown was on your show. I think back in May, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big Bob McCown fan, being a Blue Jays fan and being a Raptors fan. So started listening to your show. And then I think the next day you guys had Lisa Laflamme. So, Lisa Laflamme, that was a good guest. And from then on, guys, I've been listening like every single day, like, you know. So it's
so how would you be familiar with McCown in Quebec? Was I guess he was
just primetime ran across the country, yeah, didn't
it? I'm a bit of a hybrid in the sense where close family members of mine lived in Toronto most of my life, so I did spend summers in Toronto.
Okay.
Christmases and stuff like that. And I actually worked in Toronto 93, 94. I had actually never heard of you guys back in the day.
Yeah, we had that problem then. That was a big stumbling block for us.
I know. That's the irony.
Yeah, I know.
And so I've been listening to you guys ever since, and it's a great show. And
how do you say Hundi P in French? What is it? Sans P?
Un 100%.
C'est how?
100%, meaning 100%.
Oh, 100%.
Actually, what's funny, though, guys, is that I remember, though, Scary Pete, when he made that I'm Not Canadian
video.
Yeah.
That was actually big here, like, you know. So I had heard of The Edge back in the day, but not of you guys. But we all heard about this guy on YouTube and making that video. So it was pretty
Darren, cool. That has been our problem since day one. It's just people go, I think I've heard of you, but I'm not 100% sure.
So, Darren, you said Raptors and Blue Jays. A Leaf fan, too?
No. I don't hate the Leafs, though, because living in Quebec City, I grew up hating the Habs.
Yeah,
of course.
So it's a bit different, actually. So it's I don't dislike the Leafs. I just can't get into them.
Darren, let me tell you, growing up out west, we grew up hating the Leafs and the Canadians. I like Boston. But my very first game at the old Montreal Forum, when I moved to Montreal, my buddy Jeff Lumby, you guys have seen Jeff on the show. Dan, of course, knows Jeff. But Jeff took me to an exhibition game, and it was the Canadians and the Nordique. And I had never experienced anything. It was an exhibition game. And the noise in that rink was like nothing I'd ever heard before.
Those were probably the best hockey years ever. There was the famous brawl on a Good Friday, the Montreal Canadiens and the Nordiques. And I remember Bruce Hood was the referee.
Oh, yeah.
He actually lost his job because of that, because all hell broke loose. Sorry, Fred, I think you want to jump in.
No. I finish up. I was going to make another point, but finish up. But
no, anyways, so it was, those were the best hockey years ever. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we'll never experience something like that again, but they were good years.
What about this, though? For a Nordique fan, somebody that loved the Nordiques, they're a great team. They leave Quebec City in 95 and win the Stanley Cup in Colorado in 1996.
You're killing me here, Fred. You're killing me.
All right.
I've often thought about that. It's like, is there anything worse than that?
Patrick Roy would have never been traded to Quebec, though.
Hey, Darren, he asked you if there's anything worse than that. I know what it is. Your team hasn't won since things were in black and white.
I know.
Darren, thank you very much, because we want to make sure everyone gets a chance to say hi. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. I know who was next. It was Rob and
Daniel LaRocque. Daniel seems to have left, though.
No, but there was one other person that hadn't had a chance to say hi. But go ahead, Rob.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
So, my history goes way back. I'm from Montreal, so good segue. I've been following Howard, kind of stalking him, I guess. Listened to him with Lumby in Montreal.
And the Breakfast Club. That was the name of our show. Right. Jeff and Howard and the Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club, yeah. So big fan then, and I actually moved here in 89 as well. So moved to Ontario from Montreal, and a big alternative music fan. So I couldn't believe the radio station. We never had any of that edge radio in Montreal. And then who do I find on that radio station in the morning? It's Howard. I was like, wow, this is amazing. The only issue is Lumby didn't follow you, and I had to deal with the Hab hater Patterson here. And
That's right, because Lumby loves the Habs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So I went from Lumby to Patterson. But anyway, I got used to him.
Hey, I did the same thing.
The radio a few times.
Hey, Rob, I had to do the same thing. I look at it as an upgrade.
Yeah. No, it was great. He grew on me like a bad fungus. But anyway.
like us all.
And yes. That's
right.
And you know, I still despise them. I mean, they're really...
Oh, I know you do.
What are they now?
You've mellowed over the years.
Oh, yeah.
I used to hate you. I used to yell at the radio. Like, you used to have these commentaries that were just piercing, and I just hated you. But nice. I've mellowed out. I think you've mellowed out. So yeah.
Oh, has he?
I think so.
Although, listen, I'm sitting down last night and I have nothing else to do, and I'm watching the Habs in Calgary, and it's like I don't even care what the standings are or anything. I just want the Habs to lose.
Yeah.
And if the Habs lose, it's a good night for me.
Yeah. Sad, so anyway, eh? Yeah.
Well, Rob, you know what?
Fan. I've been with you guys since the beginning, and I've followed you from one firing to the next.
Yeah, it's been a long and winding road, my friend. And Rob, you know, I'm going to talk to Lumby in the next couple of days. I'll he'd love to hear that story.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks very much. Okay, Dan, here we go. Once again, I don't know if anyone can still see it. Here's a little Dan Duran.
A hell of a guy with a hell of a big wang.
For the reprise.
Right. Dan, what is your history with the Humble and Fred show?
Well, let's see. It all began in 79 or something.
Sure.
Back in the Boost Jaw days when I met Howard. Howard was a very nice on-air person, and I ended up being in charge of him for part of his business day.
That's
and,
right.
We got along really, really well in those days.
Dan, by the way, just so you all know,
the
Dan,
friend aspect, and then
Dan was mean to me. Just so you know that. He was mean to me for years. He was my boss.
He was also a bad worker. He was like, he didn't want to do any of the detail stuff.
I just wanted to get on the air and tell fart jokes.
So I gave him the menial stuff that he just, like radio things that nobody understands anymore. Because it's all old radio stuff. But
it all worked out for everyone. Dan's been the best man at all my weddings.
All of them, yeah.
That's right.
That's great.
Hey, Dan, there's another Dan here. Daniel LaRocque is in his car. So, Daniel, be safe. Daniel, quickly, because we're going to wrap this up in about 10 minutes. Daniel, why don't you tell us about your connection to Dan and I and Phil, of course, if you have a question for Phil. And then after Dan, I think all we have left is Sean Pitcher's iPhone.
Daniel LaRocque, can you hear us?
Can you hear us, Danny?
Yep, I'm functional this time, unlike last time I tried to connect.
All right, man.
Okay, perfect. Where are you? So,
I'm in Brampton, just near where Mr. Patterson is usually.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, cool. No, that's where I am right now. COVID Central.
Mm-hmm. So, not much to say. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. Long time listener, first time seer, or to be seen. And I'm just enjoying the humor. Pretty much simple guy. Don't have a lot to talk about. Don't have a lot to say. Like to listen.
Well, that's
well. That's
learn.
Very nice. Thank you, Daniel.
Listen and learn.
And just say you guys make the difference between me and medication on most days because with all the stuff going on, it takes a lot to keep your spirits up, and you guys do that to a great extent for me. So I just wanted to tell you how much I appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate you, Daniel. Thank you. And drive safely.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
Sean Pitcher, do you want to say hi? And then we'll just, anyone else has a question, we will be happy to answer. Sean, can you just unmute yourself? I think I'm, Sean?
Sean says he's busy in another meeting.
Oh, Sean's in another meeting. Thank you, Phil. That's fine.
All right.
That's fine. That is fine.
Yeah, so now we're open for questions. Are there anyone there that might have a question that you want to ask Cumberland Fred?
Go ahead, Chris K. What's your question, sir?
Gentlemen,
great Chris,
to see you again. I got the shirt from that party with all the peas, actually.
When there was too many peas.
There's a lot of peas. That's maybe where Hundy P came from. I don't know, but it was great food, though, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, no, I had a Fred actually had a Sports Zone question, which coincided just before Howard came.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do the show live Sunday nights and then had to be at the station first thing Monday morning?
Yes, yes.
Wow. What time did you guys do the show, Freddie?
At 11:30 on Sunday nights.
What?
11:30 on Sunday nights.
11:30 to 12 or 12:30?
I think it was an hour, 11:30 to, it may have been 11 to 12, 11:30, 12:30, was around that time.
And what time were you going into the station in those days?
Like 5 o'clock. So I would drive home, but I wanted the experience, and I really enjoyed that show. Because everybody says this, not about, everybody makes these claims all the time that it was ahead of its time, but that show was ahead of its time. We sat there in blue jeans and open neck shirts and big easy chairs and did the sports, and everybody cut us up for it and said it was ridiculous. And now most of the sports shows you see, it's people sitting in easy chairs with open neck shirts, just being informal. So I enjoyed it for the couple of years I did it. But yeah, I would, luckily the station was in Brampton at the time, so I would leave the CBC, drive home, get in bed for a couple hours, and then go back to the station.
And in those days, you may not realize this, Chris, but I'm thinking you were still doing a split shift.
Yeah.
Were you
probably.
Not?
Yeah. You know what, Howard? Probably.
Because you were doing it. The reason I think that is because you were doing it probably just up until I came. Pretty close to when I arrived.
Yes.
For you people who don't know, he would do the sports in the morning with Pete and Geets or whoever, go home for a while in the middle of the day, which is brutal, and then come back for the afternoon drive.
But it's funny, I never really minded it, because my whole life I wanted to be a sportscaster, and it was, I'm a sportscaster.
No.
And everybody in the city was doing that. You did that. You did the morning run, and then you went home for a while. And again, I was, most of the time, I was no more than 10 minutes from the station.
Which is
all
great.
The sports guys are, all the sports guys are doing that?
Well, for a while all those guys did, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. You, worked, you did a split shift. You did both runs.
Hang on a second, Fred. Dan is a hell of a Dan Duran.
A hell of a guy with a hell of a...
What,
I knew that traffic people did that for sure, but I didn't
Which is one of the most brutal things you can do.
Mm-hmm. Rick Hodge did it. Brian Henderson did it. All Gallagher did it. Everybody did it.
By the way, what Dan was referring to when he said he was in... So I had a shift. I did 8 to midnight on the radio in Moose Jaw, and from, I guess, 3 till 6? Or no, 4 till 7, I worked for Dan. I had to come in, and he would record all the announcers during the day, all the commercials, because Dan was a production guy.
And then I became production director.
And I just want to say, I've said it before, but it's not... I'm not being hyperbolic or whatever. The best I've ever worked with is Dan. Dan is the best best working with announcers and the best producer, which is weird that you ended up doing this, because it really... But so I did... So Dan would work with all these announcers, and I would come in and I would take the commercials and mix them down for a couple hours, and then I had a couple hours to prepare for the show. And every once in a while, he would give me like this shitty job to either like wind these... Carts, they were called.
Eight tracks, basically.
And that's why, to this very day, I've never forgiven him. Jeff Horn just joined us. We're going to be, you know, we're only a couple minutes away. So, Jeff, say hi. Tell us where you are, what you're up to, and how you know us.
Hey, everybody. Sorry I'm late. I just finished work. I work at Lake Ridge Health Oshawa. So I just want to pop in and say hi and check out the Zoom room. And been listening to you guys for... Well, since you started, all through high school and university, and I love the podcast. It's great.
Listen every day. Very nice. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
No problem.
Do you have a question for Phil or Dan or Marilyn or anybody here?
Oh, and everybody else. Yeah, I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to.
No, those are great stories. It's fantastic. People discover the podcast and listen to it. And if we could ask you to do anything, it's just tell other people about it or share the podcast or... You know, because that's how, you know, we don't have the big promotional machines behind us. And, you know, it's funny. Podcasts nowadays are a lot like, you know, streaming. Like, you know, people do their Netflix lists. Like, have you seen this? And, oh, you got to see this show. You got to see that show. More and more now that's happening with podcasts, I've noticed.
Hey, I got a show I think you'd really like.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I may not have heard. It's called Smartless.
Oh, and, right. Yeah.
You guys are promoting that show more than your show.
No. Hey, by the way, speaking of promoting our show, actually to echo what Freddie was saying, like you are already supporting us, obviously, and we appreciate it. You're all, you know, the Hundy Peas are very special to us. But if you could, just for fun, if you think about it, if you could just give us a rating on our iTunes... Because that is how it was explained to us recently, like how our show rates. And by the way, I don't know if you saw it today, but we're at 100, so we moved up a bit. But it would be kind of cool. Like, I know you're already doing a bunch for us, but maybe besides telling others, you know, once again, we're the witness protection program of radio people. But if you could tell, if you wouldn't mind, just putting a review, even just a one line and a star or something, because those reviews is what help elevate the podcast. Is that not right, Phil? Is that how the algorithm works?
Basically, yeah. Word begets word, right?
Word.
Begets word.
Yeah. Begets.
Word. Listen, Gord C., we're about to wrap up, so why don't you have the final word? What's your relationship? How do you know us?
I talked earlier. I was eating pizza. I just changed.
Oh, okay. So then,
eating the pizza.
All right.
Was it homemade pizza?
It was, yes.
Good for you. Good for you. Although, as we were saying on the show a few weeks ago, or a couple of weeks ago, or maybe last week, maybe yesterday, there's a lot of good frozen pizza out there now.
Oh, yeah. Hey,
there is.
I got an idea. Why don't we get some guy from a funeral home on, and he can talk about death and cremation and shit. Okay.
I'll bring my Traeger grill.
Okay. Well, listen, all crap aside, you guys are very sweet and dear to us. We appreciate it. Again, as I said, more than we're emotionally capable of expressing, but thank you so much. Phil, are you ready to do your goodbye thing?
Yeah, you mean citizens? No, you're talking about the extra. Right?
I would do it. If you would do that, we would. I don't even have that music. But go ahead.
It's fine.
Do you want to give us an a cappella version? It'll thrill the shit out of everyone.
I'm going to try after 11 hours of work, sure.
Oh, Phil.
Citizens of the world, gather round this weird Zoom room. It is time for our hearts to shine. It is time for the Humble and Fred Patreon Show Extra.
Oh my God.
Look at
unbelievable.
Down there in the corner, Brett Slade just lifted his shirt and showed us something attached to his belly.
I hope that away. Are you sure that was his belly?
I'm telling you. Now he's just gone to a bee, but he clicked on his camera, lifted his shirt, and there was something like stuck to his belly.
Come on, Brett. Like, let's have a look before we sign off here.
Like a procedure or something. Some medical procedure.
Is it staples? I want to see your staples.
Come on,
I'm
Brett.
I'm fascinated by that. All right, Phil. Phil, do your thing.
This episode of Humble and Fred on Zoom Patreon muting is brought to you by the Retirement Sherpa, Cake Sky, The Chambers Plan, Clear Air Solutions, Palma Pasta, CDN Technologies, Safe Tech Security, NextHome.ca, Red Light Holland, City Parent, and our newest sponsor, HealthGate, providing digital solutions to improve health outcomes. We stream to the planet from the remote headquarters of the Humble and Fred Show. We're Humble and Fred on Monday and online at HumbleandFredRadio.com.
Just clap your hands, just clap your hands.
See everybody, take care. We'll see you on Monday.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you.
See you.